Genesis chapter 12. You can open up to Genesis chapter 12. We are going to be seeing this morning from faith to fear and back again. From faith to fear and then back again, which sounds backward, doesn't it? We're supposed to go from fear to faith, not back to fear, but we'll see what that's all about in just a moment. Genesis chapter 12. Yesterday, my family and I were at the Getty out in Los Angeles. It was a beautiful day. And we love to go through and see all the artwork, and it's incredible to be in there. We saw a sketch, a drawing that was by Michelangelo. Parchment paper, just centimeters from my face on the other side of the glass. It's there. It's incredible. Paintings from, you see all of the greats, you know, Monet and Renoir and Degas and all these different artists. It's incredible. If you've ever been to the Getty, you know that the views are absolutely stunning. Whichever way you leave the building, you go outside, the views are absolutely stunning. Out on that east side, you go out and you can see all of the valley and Hollywood and downtown Los Angeles, and it all looks so beautiful from way up there. Different story once you go down, but up there, it looks gorgeous. And then off to the west, you can see LAX and all the planes taking off. And even beyond that, you can see San Pedro way out there, and you see the coast and the ocean, and it's incredible. It's incredible. And so a couple of times, several times yesterday as we were visiting, you kind of go outside of the building or look out, and they have these balconies that you can go out and observation platforms and things, and you get out there and you look around, and just incredible views. However, as I step out the door, it normally takes me a few minutes. I'll get out the door and then I'm cool. Palms are dripping sweat, but I'm cool. And it takes me a little while to work up to get over to the edge. And then I grab the bar, sweaty hands, and I grip that thing. I mean, I've got a death grip on that thing. I'm bending steel at this point. And then what I do, because I'm a knucklehead, is I like to look over the edge just to see if I do fall, how far will I be screaming on the way down? I do not like heights. I'm afraid of heights. And I hate that. I hate that about myself. I hate that I'm afraid of anything. You know how us men are. Macho. Tough. Not afraid of anything. But heights. And I get out there and I can see the landscape from far, and I can see all of the people out at the edge, and they're enjoying it. People are, you know, they're taking their selfies and doing the whole thing and hanging off the bars and the sides and looking over. And I stand there longing to be like them. Now, eventually I will inch my way out there and I'll get out there, because I'm one of those guys that I don't like to be afraid of heights. So I force myself to get out there, and I want to push myself to the edge. I don't like to be afraid, though. And probably there are many of you in here who may be afraid, maybe of heights, maybe it's other things. Maybe it's bugs. And maybe you hate to be afraid of bugs. But whatever it might be, that fear can really do a number on us, can't it? And we don't like that. What we want to do and where we want to be as God's people is full of faith. And what we will see this morning is a man that was full of faith. And he started out in full of faith. And then that faith dipped, and we see him begin to live a life of fear. And then we see him go back to faith again. Good news for us. So you know where we're headed. I have broken this passage up. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to go from Genesis chapter 12. We're going to look at the entire chapter. And then we will get into a few verses in chapter 13, just the first four. Okay? And what I've done is I've broken that up. The first nine verses of chapter 12, very simple, I titled Faith. Faith. The rest of chapter 12, the second part of chapter 12, beginning at verse 10 on down to the bottom, I titled Fear. Makes sense, from faith to fear. And then those few verses that we will see at the end in chapter 13, I titled Fresh Faith. So we go from faith to fear to fresh faith. Let's look at this here, beginning in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Now, normally when I'm teaching through these verses here, we will take the entire time just to go through verse 1. However, I'm not going to do that today because I want you to see the entire picture of what's going on in Abram's life here. But I want you to notice that the first thing that we see here in this section on faith is the call. This is a call that is put on Abram's life. Notice the call. Notice the conditions. God says to him, get out of your country, okay, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, God says. Now, think about that for just a moment. You see, we oftentimes we have this idea, this thought, that what God does is God does not separate families. He brings unity and he brings them together. And that may be very, very true with your family. Maybe he started saving everybody and there was a unity there. But we know, we're very familiar with it, many of us, we know that oftentimes what happens is that we, when we get saved, we get separated from our family. And we may still like them and love them and still have interaction with them. But many of you are familiar, aren't you? You know that there's been a separation for many of you. And what God is doing here in the life of Abram is he's calling him, notice what he says. He says, get out of your country, away from your family, and then away from your father's house to a land that I will show you. What God is doing is he is calling Abram to leave everything that he is familiar with, everything that brings comfort for Abram. He's living with his father. He finds his provision there, the strength in numbers, we say. And God is telling Abram, leave all of those things. And it doesn't quite compute. We go, wait a minute, why would God be telling him to leave everything? I mean, he's got this life, he's all set, and he's got his comfort and his provision and his peace there. Why in the world would God be upsetting him that way? Well, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 2, we read this verse, and Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor. We're talking about Abraham right now. So we're finding out something from Joshua, some background. He says, Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, Abraham and his brother Nahor. It says, dwelt on the other side of the river in old time. And then it says at the end of verse 2 there in Joshua 24, and they served other gods. And so then all of a sudden it becomes apparent, it's clear now. Why would God call Abram to leave his country, everything that he's familiar with, his neighbors, his friends, his family, he tells him. And he says, I even want you to leave your father's house. Leave it. The reason that God wanted him to leave and in fact moved him out of there was because Abraham was surrounded by idolatry. They served other gods. Now, I am of the opinion. I don't read it here. I am of the opinion that at some point in the past, Abraham must have been involved in idolatry. He was surrounded by it, raised in it. His father was an idolater. The rest of his family was. And probably at some point, God called him out of that idolatry. I don't know if it was prior to this or if it's happening right now at this moment as we're reading it here. But he was at the very least surrounded by idolatry. And in order for God to work in Abraham's life, he had to take him out of that, out of those circumstances, out of those surroundings. And so he separates Abraham from all that he is familiar with. Now, for many of us, we may say, well, that doesn't sit right with me. That's strange. However, think about your own life. And what did God call you out of in the past? And then we go, oh, that's right. I remember the things that I was involved in. I remember the things, the way that I was sinning. I remember the things that I was doing. And God separated me from all of that. And maybe all of my faith was in my parents at some point in the past. And God separated me from that. So that, why? Look what he says here in the very next verse, verse 2. He says this, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You see, what we saw there first was the call on Abram, from God to Abram. God initiates the relationship. We're familiar with that. God saved us. God called us. And then what God does is, before Abraham can come to a decision as to whether he wants to go or not, God says to him, I'm going to make a commitment. So we see the call, now we see the commitment. And what God is saying to Abram is, leave everything that you are counting on. And God says to him, I will be the replacement for all of those things. I will bless you. I'll provide for you. I'll be your safety. That's what he's saying there in those verses, or in verse 2. Abram, leave it all behind, and I'll be your replacement. Not I will replace those things, but God saying, I will be the replacement. I will be those things for you. You see, we're familiar with that, aren't we? That wherever we may go, we can be comforted by God. We know that God is there with us. It doesn't matter where we go or what we have or what we don't have or where we don't go. We know that that relationship that we have with God is still there. It's that peace that passes all understanding. No matter what is going on with our circumstances and the things around us, we know that God's peace is still there, still available to us. Now, this is interesting. God puts this call on Abram. And I want you to think about this. What God is saying to him is, get out, go. And we read the translation there. He says, go from your country, from your kindred there in verse 1, and then from your father's house, from your country, your family, and your father's house, to a land that I will show you. It's important for us to understand and to remember that what God is doing here in this first verse, as he calls Abram, is he's not telling him, leave all of these things and get going. What he's saying to him is, Abraham, leave all of those things and come with me. You see, that word go or go out, get out, is the word yalak. And it can mean go, but it can also mean come. And at the end of verse 1, what do we see there but God saying, to a land that I will show you. You see, the point was always for Abram to walk with God, not to go ahead of God, not to go on by himself, not to be able to count on God's resources. The point was never for him to go off and figure this life of faith out by himself. That was never the point. The point was always for Abram to walk with God. God says, to a land that I will show you. It's clear. And so the point for us when we got saved was never to walk alone. We get this thought in our minds, okay, I'm saved. Now what I need to do is go do a bunch of things for Christ. And I'll even change my email. Chris for Christ. Preacher for Christ. Because I get this in my mind that I'm supposed to do things for Christ. That was never the point, church. The point was always to walk with God. Not go ahead of Him, not lag behind, but to walk in fellowship with Him. That's the invitation here. It is this what we're seeing here has been called by some the most important event in all of the Old Testament. Because what it does is it sets the pattern for those of us, you and I, those of us that want to live by faith. We want to live by faith, we must be willing to leave it all behind. We want to live by faith, we must be willing to count on God and on His resources. And we like that, don't we? We like that. Now notice what happens. Notice what happens here as Abram. Now God has just made a commitment. We saw the call. God made a commitment to Abram. So what does Abram do? God just said, hey, I want you to leave everything that you're familiar with. Look at verse 4. So Abram departed. This is my kind of guy. This nut actually leaves. He hears, leave it all behind. And come with me, and he says, okay, and he does it. It says in verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. See, some of you in here with those gray crowns, you're saying, man, this is not for me. I've already put my time in. God's not going to call me to do anything. It's time to relax. And then we come to Abram and we say, 75 years old, and God calls him out on this adventure. Seriously? He says to Abram, leave behind the comfort, leave behind the recliner, come with me. We've got adventures to tackle. I've got things for you to do. You still have to have a family. Let's go. 75 years old. And so it says in verse 5, then Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son, his nephew, and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. They had servants. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. So it appears to us that God led him first to the land of Canaan. Abram in verse 6 passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Notice, Abram begins this journey, begins to take these steps of faith. Okay? And then in verse 7, as he departs, he goes to the land of Canaan. He passes through the land, gets to the place of Shechem by the terebinth tree, sets up his camp there. In verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So take note of this. Those of us who want to live by faith, one step at a time. Now, that's the last thing you wanted to hear this morning, right? We want the whole plan. Just put it all out there for me, God. I have news for you. You may not want that. You may not like that. A little bit further into the study of Abram, he actually asked God, God, he says, that's great. You know, you're giving me all these things and blessing me this way, but I still don't have a son. When am I going to get a son? And God says, okay, you want to see the plan? I'll show you the plan. And it involves darkness and terror. And Abram finds out that he's going to have a family indeed, but they're going to be taken captive and they're going to be slaves. He won't be touched by those things. But you see, it wasn't necessarily all good news. It's best for you and I, those of us who want to walk by faith, if we just go one step at a time. Let God lead. Stay close to God. Fellowship with God. You have that relationship, this exchange. Did you see the exchange? As Abram leaves, he goes to Canaan, he passes through the land, comes to Shechem, and then what happens as he stops? Then God shows up and says, hey, Abram, I've got news for you. There's an exchange. That's what that life of faith is all about. We're familiar with it. We take a step, and maybe we show up to church, and God speaks to us. Or maybe it's at home on your own reading your word, or maybe it's listening to a Bible study. As you are taking those steps and moving forward, God comes and he speaks to you. That's faith. That's that exchange. It's a relationship. And you find out God is at church. God is in the break room at work. God is in your classroom. God is in the car when you're listening to the word. Wherever you may go, God is there, and there is an exchange. You are walking with God. That's the life of faith. That's what Abram is showing us here. So notice the exchange, it continues, and Abram passed through the land. Look at verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. It's a promise. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Do you notice what's taking place in the life of Abram? As he moves by faith, everywhere that he goes, he is leaving behind a trail of worship. And everybody knows Abram has been here. Abram is a worshiper of God, and he has been here. He's left his mark. And the same is true for you and I, that wherever we may go, when we are walking by faith, we leave behind a legacy of worship. We leave behind our mark, which is not necessarily our mark. It's that mark of God. It's God's mark on us. And everybody says, oh, that person. And maybe you have to switch from one job to another and you are missed because you've been a blessing in that place. And hopefully people are sad to see you go. I know there are times when people are happy to see you go. That's about time we got that preacher out of here. But the idea is that when we are walking by faith, we have God's blessing, His provision on us, and it leaves behind this trail of worship. We were at the museum yesterday. I don't know what it is, but we're walking into the museum and we're, hey, okay, we're going to go over to the West Plaza and go see this place. And as we're walking, I'm opening the door. We start to go in and let's go over here first. And then all of a sudden, one of my kids says, why are we whispering? I said, I don't know. Might mess up the paintings or something. I don't know. Isn't that funny? But what happens is, I'm walking through. Looking at all this stuff. And then someone from my family. I don't want to, point her out, but. Dad is whistling so loud. And then my wife says, well, that's how I know where he's at. I don't realize. I do the same thing here. Cindy, who works here at the church also, she's told me before, I heard you coming down the hallway because I come through whistling. She doesn't complain about it. It's just, I just do it. Sorry, I'm happy. What am I going to tell you? I like to whistle. But I do it, and I've passed it on to my daughter, Phoebe. She whistles also, and sometimes it'll be, hey, I'm trying to watch TV. Be quiet. I can't hear you. Your whistling, is echoing throughout the entire house. But you see, we're in the same way, when we're living by faith, we're walking by faith, we're leaving behind that trail of worship. Or at least we ought to be. And so it is with Abram, this picture of the life of faith. So he builds an altar there. Verse 8, he moves from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. So we've seen that section on faith, and we've seen a couple of different things there. We saw God's call on Abram, and then we saw the commitment from God to Abram, I will provide all that you need. Abram, no need to be afraid. Follow me. Let's go. And then we saw the commitment from Abram, where Abram says, okay, in verse 4, and he journeys. He takes off. He leaves it all behind and he goes. And then we see the exchange there between the two as they live this living life of faith, this living faith. Abram counting on God, God coming and visiting him, directing him, Abram leaving a life of a legacy of worship behind him as he goes, a trail of worship. That, my friends, is what the life of faith is supposed to be like. Wherever God goes, that's where I go. Not, God, give me the plan and then I'll charge ahead and make it happen. No. God, wherever you're going, that's where I want to go. And I'll just follow you. As you step, I'll step. As you go, I'll go. That's it. But oftentimes that's not enough for us, right? You need to give me more. Give me the whole plan. I'll go ahead. I'll get this figured out. Well, look what happens beginning in verse 10. From verses 10 to 20, we see fear. He transitions from faith to fear. Now, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there. For the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Stop there for just a moment. Abram, as we open up this section on fear, what happens here? We go, where did Abram go wrong? How did he transition from faith to fear? It's supposed to go the other way. I want you to notice what happens here in verses 10 and 11. It's what we call circumstances. His circumstances have changed. Now listen. It is a real problem. There is a famine in the land. That means there's a shortage of food. It is also reality, not only that there is famine in the land, shortage of food, but also that his wife is of a fair countenance. So he's got a famine to consider and the fair countenance of his wife. And you say, well, the famine I understand. It's a shortage of food. And Abram reacts by going down to Egypt because evidently in Egypt they had food. We'll talk about that some more in just a moment. But what's the deal with his wife being of a fair countenance? Why is that a problem? Well, he goes on to tell us here, verse 12. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. See, Abram sees the famine, and so he figures, we're going down to Egypt. I've got that fixed. And he starts to head down to Egypt. As he gets closer, he realizes, as he's looking at his wife, my wife is beautiful. And he says to his wife, you know what? You are of a fair countenance. They love beautiful women there in Egypt. And what's going to happen is they're going to take you and they're going to kill me. And that was an absolute possibility. It was a real possibility. So he's looking at his circumstances and he's seeing the famine and he's seeing the fair countenance. These are real things. Do you remember Peter? Peter was always doing these wild things. And there was the one time where he was in the middle of a storm, and he was in a perfectly good boat. Now, the boat was all over the place, and they were trying to row, and they couldn't get out of it. But he's in a perfectly good boat. It's if you're out in the ocean or in the sea, and you're in a boat, and the sea's going crazy, where's probably the best place for you to be? In the boat or out of the boat inside the storm? Probably inside the boat, but not good enough for Peter. You see, Peter sees Jesus coming across. He's walking on water. And Peter decides, hey, Jesus, if it's you, command me to come out on the water. Why? You're in a perfectly good boat. Why don't you just wait and help Jesus into the boat when he gets there? Not good enough for Peter. Peter says, I want to walk with you. Commendable. Crazy, but commendable. And so Jesus says, all right, come out. And Peter begins to walk on the water. We all know the story. What happens is he looks at this wave, he looks at that wave, he looks at the storm, and he begins to sink. He looked at his circumstances. Now, these circumstances are real for Abraham. They're real for Abraham. But notice what happens here. Verse 14, so it was. So he said in verse 13, listen, let me read that for you. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. So please, now, those of you that are Bible students, some of you are going to say, but it was his half-sister. We understand what's going on here. He was married to this woman. We understand what it is that he's doing. He is operating in fear. And what he's just said to his wife is, I want you to say that you're my sister. I want you to lie for me to save my neck. So it was when Abram, in verse 14, came into Egypt, that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. And what we don't read there is Abram's response. I told you. Ya te dije. I told you it was going to happen. I was like, what? Didn't I? I said it was right. You know how us guys are. We like to be right about everything. I told you it was going to happen. And so Abram, what he imagined to happen actually took place. And we go, see? See there? My fears are real. Your fears are real. No doubt. No doubt. Let's read on. And so it says in verse 15, The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. Verse 16, he treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. And you go, wait a minute. The ladies in here are going, wait a minute. Let me get this right. Abram, are you telling me that Abram just traded his wife for animals? That's exactly what happened. Now, single ladies in here, single ladies. If you're married, sorry. Pray for that man. Single ladies. Are you listening? Single ladies. I'm about to share some wisdom with you. Single ladies. If a man, in wanting to save his own hide, his own neck, asks you to lie for him, or wants to trade you in for some animals, three words: dump the chump. And you can hashtag that. This man just traded his wife in for some animals. Why? Because he was operating in fear. Operating in fear. He, no doubt, wounded his wife deeply. Was a terrible example for Lot and the servants that he had with him. They're all looking at this man like this man is on a journey of faith. He's following God, a giant of the faith. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. What happened? What happened? I don't know if you noticed this or not. But remember, go back with me real quickly, verses 1 through 9. You remember that, the call and the commitment, and then there was the exchange. You know, Abram would take a step, and then God would show up and encourage him, and then Abram would take another step, and he's setting up altars and this life of worship, and it's all there's this exchange, this relationship that's going on. I don't know if you were tracking with me, but in verses 10 down to 16, something was missing. Anybody know what it was? It was what? The Lord. From verses 10 to 16, there is not one mention of God. Now, see, we could start a big fight in here. We could say, who thinks that Abram was wrong for going into Egypt? And we, you know, half of us raise our hands, he was wrong for going to Egypt. And then some of us, I could say, well, but that's where the food was. And maybe in wisdom, he was trying to care for his wife and his nephew and his servants. And so that's where the food is. It seems like wisdom would tell you go that way. And so we might, you know, we could have us a big fight. But that's not the point at all. That's not the point at all. We can argue about that later. The point is this, that Abram went down to Egypt and he's operating in fear. And in operating in fear, he fails in his faith and he wounds his wife and is a bad example, not only for his people, but in front of the Egyptians. Now check this out, verse 17. Look at verse 17. Incredible, incredible. Verse 17 says this, but the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Wait a minute. Hold on. We can argue about whether God was supposed to be in Egypt or Abram was supposed to be in Egypt or not, but check this out. We get to verse 17 and we find this out. We find out that God was in Egypt already. He was already there. He knew where Abram was headed. And so he was there to deal with the problem, to deal with the situation, and to come to Sarai's rescue, because obviously her husband wasn't going to do it. Did you notice that in verse 17? That he plagued Pharaoh and his house for Sarai's sake. It was for Sarai. He came to the rescue of Sarai and in the process rescued Abram, as we're going to see here in just a moment. But God was already in Egypt. Is there anywhere that you and I can go where God is not? No. No. And so it may be that this morning you have found yourself, you have left the life of faith and are operating in a life of fear. And all of a sudden you look around and you say, man, where is God at? I don't see any evidence of him here. Where is he? Listen, take comfort. He's there. That's what we're learning here in this verse, in verse 17. God is already there. There isn't anywhere that you can go where God is not. And circumstances may be absolutely overwhelming. And you may say, cancer is a horrible disease, and there's no way that God is in that horrible disease. Listen, God is already there. Before you ever got to that doctor visit, before you ever strapped you down to a hospital bed, God was already there. So what you and I need to do is make sure that we factor God into the equation. You see, what Abram did, the way that he went from faith to fear was by cutting God out of the picture. There's no mention there. There's no exchange. There's no life of worship left behind him, no legacy. He has cut God out of the picture. God can provide all of my needs. God can give me peace, and he can be my comfort and all of those different things, but God can't handle a famine, and he can't handle my beautiful wife, so I've got to handle these myself. You see what he did? He cut God out of the picture. Listen, there is nothing that you and I may be experiencing or will experience that God cannot handle, that God is not aware of. Listen, the doctors, you know what they're doing? They're finding out what God already knows about you. God's already there. What we need to do is not operate in fear, but operate in faith. And it says in verse 18, "And Pharaoh called Abram and said, 'What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way.' So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had." Listen, I want you to take a step back and look at this picture. We have Abram, the father of faith. Incredible journey, incredible calling on his life. He leaves it all behind, begins to walk with God. And then his circumstances change, and he stops operating in faith and begins operating in fear. So much so that as he gets down to Egypt, did you see the picture? What has happened is that Pharaoh, who considered himself a god, is now listening to God, and Abram is not. And Pharaoh says to Abram, he rebukes him, "Why did you do this?" What has happened? What has happened? Abram cut God out of the picture. And when that happens, fear rushes in. Fear is going to rush in. We're familiar with it, all of us, aren't we? When I get out there on that ledge, and I'm trying to look at the beautiful Pacific Ocean and the sunset yesterday, incredible. I get out there, all I'm thinking about is how I'm going to work my way over to that edge. I know I'm going to do it. It's just going to be a matter of time. And I'm being honest with you right now. Yesterday, being out there on that ledge, the first thing that fills my mind is the fear of falling off. That's the truth, the absolute truth. Let me tell you what was not in my mind. God. I was not thinking when I walked out there, "Hey, God's got me. No problem. Let me just walk right on out there and get right over to the edge. Not a problem. God's got me covered." I was not thinking that. All I was concerned with was my fear. Were they real? They were absolutely real. You fall off of that, you're going to die. That's the truth. My heart, my mind were filled with fear. But that is not the way that God wants us operating. That's not it. What does God want? What does God want? You know what God wants? God wants us operating in faith. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. So we've seen faith. We've seen fear. And some of us in here right now, we got the sweaty palms because we know, man, God is speaking to me through his word. And now I'm in a bad spot because I realize I've been operating in fear. The question now is, how do I get out of it? How do I get back to living a life of faith? Guess what? We see it in the life of Abram. Look at chapter 13. This is where we see fresh faith taking place. "Then Abram went up from Egypt." We don't want to over-spiritualize that, but it is just a reminder to me personally that he went up out of it. He was down, and now he's moving on up. He's leaving it behind. He does not stay there. He gets out of Egypt as fast as he can. He's got his tail tucked between his legs, but still he doesn't stay there. He moves. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. And Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold. Incredible that God did not take it all away from him, strip it all. And here it is in verses 3 and 4 where we see our two final points. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel. Remember that place? To the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. I've moved from faith to fear, and I want to get back to faith, fresh faith. What do I need to do? Here it is. Abram just showed us. Go back to the beginning. Now, it may be that you first got saved in Ohio somewhere in some little church. Am I telling you that you need to go back to Ohio and go to that place? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, well, he tells us here, look at verse 4. You go back to the beginning. What was it like? It's when you first worshiped and you first surrendered. And you said, God, you can have it all. Look at verse 4. To the place, he goes back between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And what did he do there? And Abram called on the name of the Lord. That worship is restored. He went back to the beginning, and once he got there, he went back to basics. So this morning, perhaps your heart is filled with fear because of your circumstances, and they may be real circumstances. Everything may be falling apart. Job may be unsteady, unsecure. Relationships may be up and down. Maybe your kids are going haywire. Maybe there's a sickness or a disease looming, or maybe you're already in the middle of it, and you're struggling to stay afloat. And what you want so desperately is to live in faith and not in fear. And yet you find yourself this morning having cut God out of the picture, sitting here this morning saying, now what? I'm supposed to be living by faith. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Remember that? We hear that and we say, man, that I want that. How do I get back there? What I'm telling you is this: go back to the beginning, and once you get there, go back to the basics. Worship, His Word, fellowship. See, instead of surrounding yourself and operating in fear, you got to surround yourself and start operating in faith. Surround yourself with those things that you were doing way back when, whether it was 50 years ago or whether it was last week. Whatever you were doing at that point when you first surrendered and said, God, I need you. I've got nothing, God. You remember that time? Do you remember how sweet that was when you would show up and you'd be excited and God's Word was new and alive and fresh? Get back to doing those same things. That's it. Fill your heart and your mind up with God's Word and with worship and with fellowship. And what will happen is, as a result of that, you will find your heart trusting in Him no matter what. And you'll say, man, there's nothing that God cannot handle. I'll give it all up for you again.